I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, Halima.
Hi, Ione.
And hello to the listeners. Welcome to the Polyester Podcast. I'm Ione, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester Online, in print, and everywhere else.
And I'm Halima, the community editor of Polyester and the co-host of the Polyester Podcast.
We publish weekly episodes with The Sleepover Club and Obsessions.
This week is The Sleepover Club, where we have all those gorgeous conversations you usually have with your mates at a sleepover. This week, we are joined with Eden Young!
A very special guest. Eden, would you like to introduce yourself to the podcast?
Hello, I'm Eden. I'm the socials editor for Polyester, and I'm very excited to be here today.
So today, me and Eden, and also the whole of the internet, have been having very many conversations about the return of indie sleaze, but Halima has no fucking clue what we're on about because she is but a child.
I was thinking, you guys think I probably have no clue what this is. I was chronically online as an 11-year-old, so I have
11! You make me feel sick.
Because I was looking this up yesterday, and there was an account that was talking about how indie sleaze stopped in 2012. I don't think that's true. Is that true?
Yeah.
Definitely true.
Kind of died out.
Okay, so okay. Halima, maybe we should start by you tell us what you think indie sleaze is.
Okay, so when indie sleaze died, supposedly, I was 12. So clearly, yeah, I was 12 and it died. But I was thinking that indie sleaze was like, you know, I can't remember, I'm not saying her last name, but it's like Sky Ferraria?
Eden, how do you say the last name?
Ferraria.
So like, yeah. Sky Ferraria, like that whole vibe, like Tumblr, like skins, like staying up late, like tights, like Arctic Monkeys. I don't know. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, that's what I think. Like, I think of Arctic Monkeys when I think of indie sleaze.
Eden, what do you think indie sleaze is?
So there's technically a crossover where when indie sleaze was ending, kind of like Tumblr Girl, like that kind of style was really kicking off. So I think Sky Ferraria is kind of in the middle of all that. So she's at the end of indie sleaze, but at the start of this kind of like Tumblr indie girl guy revival kind of thing.
When I think of indie sleaze, I think it's like 2005 to 2010, maybe 2006 to 2010, because I remember I was like 12 or 13, I can't remember how old I was, and I moved school between year 7 and 8, and when I got to the new school, then I was an indie girl. That was it. I wasn't an emo anymore. I was an indie girl. How did you find indie, Eden?
I think probably around about like 2007, I was watching NME TV, started buying NME magazine religiously and just listening to every single band that they were talking about and making it my whole personality and basically thinking I was better than everyone else. I went to like a really small school in the countryside, so no one knew like who any of these bands were, and I thought I was literally the coolest person, like listening to like fucking Crystal Castles and like the Wombats, when in reality that's really uncool. But it's kind of like this individualistic way of thinking that you just want to be the most original person in the room.
Yeah, you're better than everyone else. Yeah, I remember so clearly, like, because I grew up in Brighton, so there was like loads of gigs and stuff all the time, and I used to go to gigs basically once a week probably, and I think that's when it was like the height of the indie sleaze movement, even though obviously I was like 14, so I wasn't like going to the clubs or anything obviously, but So the big bands for me were like Foals. They were like my fave, the first album. And I saw Metronomy support Foals at one of their first gigs when they had Eden. Do you remember when they used to have those flashing lights on their chest?
Yeah. It was like literally like lights that someone would like put in the garage to like turn on when like when they pop in to get something out the garage. Yeah. They like strap them to their chests and would like press them during the show. Wild.
So Foals were like my favorite band. I was obsessed with Patrick Wolf, like so obsessed. So Halima, do you know who Patrick Wolf is?
No, not a clue.
Patrick Wolf is a pioneer.
Yeah, he is a pioneer. I can't hold myself together. So Patrick Wolf is like this 6 foot, very tall man, very gay. He had ginger hair. He did this song called The Magic Position and lots of other songs. He was very like indie / twee, if we're going. But I feel like, okay, sorry, I'm cutting in here. So Halima and Eden, have you seen all the TikToks about the twee revival?
Yes.
No. You said the word twee in the last podcast and I was thinking, did she make that up? I don't know what twee means. What does twee mean?
Oh my word. History is just lost, isn't it?
What did I say in the context of?
You were saying that you hate all those little twee, like we're talking about normalization. You're like, when people make things like such a big deal and all these little twee things. And I was like, oh, twee.
You don't know what twee means?
No. What does it mean? Guys, I'm being shamed on this podcast.
Oh, I'm so...
Eden, please, can you describe twee?
I think, so back in the day, when in the indie sleaze days, in the good old indie sleaze days, twee was basically like hipster. So it's been rebranded by Gen Z on TikTok. It's basically like Zooey Deschanel, like coloured, kind of like art teacher, Wes Anderson, cutesy vibes. So indie sleaze is like
days of summer.
Dirty. Yeah. This is like, I like to read books by the windowsill and like go for walks and wear purple tights.
It's like Taylor Swift's Tumblr era.
I see. Okay.
But twee is not just that in the context of that. Like, twee is an actual real word.
Oh.
Like, it's a real thing that exists.
What is
it? Yeah, it's like a music genre in the 90s as well. So it's like originally from that.
So the definition of twee in the dictionary is excessively or affectedly quaint, pretty, or sentimental.
So it's like, I guess like Belle and Sebastian are twee, stuff like that.
I guess it is what you said about Zooey Deschanel, because it's about like cutesy shit.
Yeah. Whereas indie sleaze is like dirty and grimy and you're like falling over into the gutter outside a club with like ripped tights. But it's really
exactly.
fun.
Tights.
Tights are key in this. Yeah.
Tights are the key accessory.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming back.
Yeah. I just bought a pair of spotty, like, love heart tights.
Yeah, like, oh my God.
Alexa Chung used to wear back in the day.
Oh, God.
See, I always hated, I think I liked Alexa Chung when she was on Pop World. And then when she became, like, a Tumblr icon, I didn't like her anymore. And she had that really shit book out. Do you remember it?
I had it, guys. I had it. I still have it in my shop.
The pink one.
Yeah, called It.
Oh my God, we should throw it on stories.
You should. I need to get it from my shed.
Also, I also feel like indie sleaze is kind of more, like, it definitely crossed over to Tumblr, but it also existed when MySpace was still a thing.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like four social medias, which is weird.
Yeah, it's like, so I spoke to, there's a really good Instagram account called just Indie Sleaze. I messaged them and I was like, what are your thoughts about it? Like, because they've recently, I started following them at the start of, well, a couple of months ago we found them, I think. They had like maybe like a couple of hundred followers. Now they've got like 10,000 followers. It's like Julia Fox is following it. Like, but they
woman
said
of the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Julia Fox is in the know. But I asked them to just kind of go like define what they think what indie sleaze means to them. They said something really interesting that they were like, it took place not that long ago, but long ago enough that the technology that was around then is like so outdated that people like Gen Z now can feel nostalgic towards it. So they were like, it was like just at the start of social media, like MySpace was just implemented. And then people kind of had like, no one really had mobile phones. Everyone had a mobile phone all of a sudden. So they were like, they said that the texting and like access to a phone moved horniness from late night realms behind closed doors to like being in your face. So like everyone could just kind of talk to anyone they wanted at any moment. And it's this really like hedonistic kind of time, I think.
Yeah, I was talking about this at the pub on the weekend and my friends were kind of saying, because you know, on MySpace, you had to like lie about your age to get on. Mm-hmm. So they've spent like 10 years thinking that all these boys in indie bands were being nonces, messaging them, and then realized last week, like, oh shit, I had to lie and say I was 16 to get on it. So they probably just actually thought I was 16.
Yeah, it's mad that.
What are some relics you still have from the indie movement?
Oh my god, I've probably got something like stuck up in my room now. I'm trying to think. Oh, maybe not. I've got like all my like gig tickets,
yeah,
in like a box somewhere, and all like festival response, because people used to wear those as like a badge of honor. Which
oh
is
my god, Eden, did you ever go to, you probably didn't because you didn't grow up in the South, lol, but do you remember Underage Festival?
Yes, I do.
That was that the fucking weirdest wild thing that's ever happened, Halima. So there's this thing called Underage Festival, and it was in Victoria Park, where All Points East is now. And it was a festival just for under 18-year-olds. So it was like all the indie bands would play. So like I remember I saw Patrick Wolf there, and I got hit over the head by his ukulele. Oh my God. Because he threw it into the crowd and I caught it. And then this girl came up to me and punched me in the face and took it off me and hit me over the head with it. So oh she could God keep it.
Did she get it?
Yeah, she got it. At underage, that's I also got wild a whole bottle of poppers in my eye because someone like nudged me and they went in my eye. I went completely blind for like 5 minutes.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
I was like 14, 15. And it was just like being, obviously there was no alcohol served because it was an underage festival. It was run by one of the guys that was in Scum. Wasn't it, Eden? I think
Thomas something.
It wasn't the one that was married to Peaches Geldof. Right. It was his brother.
Right.
So it was run by one of them. It's just a very weird time. Like I feel like now you would never be able to have a festival for under 18-year-olds.
Yeah, you're just asking for trouble, aren't you? And like yeah, someone is going to be able to sneak booze in.
Yeah, and I feel like also it was like the so we couldn't really go out. Like we could go to gigs because you're allowed to gigs, but you couldn't go to clubs or anything. And you would get ID'd, but I feel like there was more workarounds. Like Vice hired me when I was 16 to be like a club girl, like a flyer girl for their clubs, for free entry to their clubs. I didn't get paid, even though I was 16.
I think people, like, things were a lot less, it just seems like things were a lot less strict then. I don't know. Like, I feel like everyone was like underage boozing on the street, getting served in shops, going to gigs. And then like, even though it was like a 14 plus entry, the like most maddest stuff would happen at gigs. Like everyone would be completely hammered. And then I just feel like today that probably might not happen that much. But I don't know, I'm not a 14-year-old at a gig.
That's true.
It's
like
the wild, wild west.
It was a bit like that. Like, well, think like there was loads of legal highs that everyone was taking that were then made illegal because there was like a weird loophole and they hadn't made it illegal yet. But stuff like that, like mad stuff was happening. And then
when did
I think
Skins come out?
2006, I think.
Okay, so that was like a historical document of that era.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you watch like Skins and when you watch Gossip Girl, it's like a time capsule of like that era. Maybe Gossip Girl's a little bit later. Like all the music, like Lady Gaga's in a Gossip Girl episode, Florence and the Machine's there, like random kind of like famous people, obviously they're still famous now, just show up and like all the music in Gossip Girl are like these like flash in the pan indie bands that just do not exist anymore, like the Virgins. But they were like massive celebrities at the time and they were going out with like all the socialites. Like people were going, like that guy was going out with Peaches Geldof and stuff like that.
Sonic Youth were in Gossip Girl.
Oh, really? My God, they were, yeah, at the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mad.
But it's kind of like, you know how the OC kind of had like all the pop punk bands and then that like defined that era, and then Gossip Girl had all the indie bands, so then it like defined that.
Yeah.
Robin was in it as well.
Was she?
Yeah.
It's like this, and I think Gossip Girl's really interesting because the fact that they had to like sign up to get the blasts or whatever when you get the text message, it's like it's like on the edge of the technology that we have now. So like everyone, you had to like go onto the internet back in the day, be like, one second, I'm just going to go onto the internet. But now everyone can just have access to the internet at any given moment, at any time. I think it's really interesting that Gossip Girl really captures it well. It's kind of like on the precipice of like post-internet and like pre-internet. I don't know. Or like the internet that we have now.
It's also wild. I feel like it kind of shows more clearly how, I don't know, because when I think of like indie sleaze, there was like all of the girls that kind of like ended up defining it, which were like rich girls, essentially, like Peaches Geldof, rest in peace, obviously, and like Alexa Chung, and like a bit later Corey Kennedy and that. But then also indie sleaze just had like literal ratty people, like all the actual bands that were in it. And I remember this Vice article ages ago that was like the 100 landfill indie songs. So I feel like indie sleaze was before there was landfill indie, or like people didn't take landfill indie bands that seriously.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Because they're obviously really, like, commercialized. So I feel like there was, like, the rich girls, which were, like, aspirational. But then there was just, like, the scummy people, which kind of Skins represented more, even though it was a TV show, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I used to hate Skins when I was a kid.
Emma, but you hate Euphoria now, which is basically Gen Z Skins.
But I literally don't hate Euphoria. I'm just scared of seeing those 8 teenagers cry, because I will cry and I don't want to see it. But my thing with Skins was that when I was a kid, because I didn't watch it when it was coming out, because again, when it came out, I was 6. So I didn't watch it. I watched it when I got a little bit older, because I guess after the indie sleaze movement, Tumblr became very big, and I was really on Tumblr when I was becoming a teenager. People were talking about Skins, and also they had the new Skins coming out, so I was like, I want to watch that, so I need to watch the old one. So when I was watching the old one, I was like, is that what teenagers are like? Because I was becoming a teenager. And I was like, I don't want to be like this. This is disgusting. So I really didn't like it, and I literally just didn't get it. So I was like, ew. So I didn't like Skins.
I felt like it had the opposite effect on people that were near enough that age. Like, do you remember Eden when it was in the news? Because there was that massive Skins party in Brighton where, like, someone's parents went away and then 500 people turned up, and it was advertised on MySpace as, like, Skins party.
Yeah.
The girl's, like, a famous model now who did it. And I think she got famous from doing that party because it was all over the news. She was really pretty. So everyone was like, let's sign her to a modelling agency, because she had a crazy party while her parents were away and destroyed their, like, £2 million house. But yeah, I feel like everyone was definitely imitating it at the time. Like, I remember I used to rob so much stuff from American Apparel because it was when they didn't have any security tags on it, and then just go to the beach and, like, drink until I throw up on the beach, and it'd be like January, like, literally freezing cold, and then just go home.
literally the same. Like, it's really funny that Halima, you say that Skins is, like, really just the opposite of what you wanted to do, because I feel like as well everyone at the time was like, I want to be like this. Like, we would go camping and stuff, and, like,
go to the woods
and, like, smoke weed. And, like, I think everyone just thought it was, like, the coolest thing that had ever happened. And it used to be on a Thursday night, and then everyone would come into school on a Friday and be like, oh my God, did you watch Skins last night? Let's go out tonight. Let's go to the woods. Like,
I used to have to get up at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning to watch it before I went to school, because my mum wouldn't let me watch it. So I had to get up before she'd wake up to watch it, so then I could go and talk about it.
Yeah. But, like, if you didn't watch it, everyone would be talking about it the next day. Like,
yeah, we think spoilers are bad now. You weren't around when Skims first aired and in school.
In the form room, you'd be like, oh, please don't say anything. But yeah, I don't know if it's because I think that's maybe now there's just too much to consume. So it feels like people are watching things less and less collectively. Whereas back then it was like, you just had to watch this one thing that everyone was watching. Otherwise you'd be left out of the conversation. Mm. Whereas now it's just like, there's obviously everyone's watching Euphoria at the moment, but it just feels like, I don't know.
Not Halima.
Not you. I saw a tweet today that was like, imagine the discourse on Twitter if like Skins was on now, or like if we had Twitter back in the day when Skins was on.
But that's crazy. What Euphoria is like now, because everyone wants to cancel Sam Levinson and stuff. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But that's what I was going to say, because like, I've written about this a bit in my book, in the like Tumblr feminism essay, basically talking about why Tumblr feminism came to be and like how it was kind of a reaction. Like, I don't think it was an evolving of indie sleaze. I think it was actually a reaction against it, because we saw like all those aforementioned girls and they were always like spaced out on drugs, like in the corner of parties, like horrible flash photography by Cobra Snake or another man. Other photographers don't exist. Or like Terry Richardson, American Apparel adverts where like girls had their nuns out. And like all of this stuff, and where basically girls had like no autonomy. Like what I was saying before about those girls, they're kind of aspirational. It's because they were untouchable, and literally they felt like they could be in a TV show. Like you didn't really know anything about their lives. It felt very like voyeuristic watching them like, yeah, get drunk and fall out of clubs. Like obviously Amy Winehouse is like a horrible example of this as well. So I feel like the indie sleaze era was like the last era before the female gaze, basically, or before women had autonomy, because of what Eden was saying as well about like the internet. Like they didn't really have the channels also to like publish their own things or talk about themselves that much. So they were always like vehicles for other like male artists or male people, or they were like framed of like being messes, basically. And like they, even though like they were aspirational to teenage girls, the press was like very anti them.
Yeah. Like vicious against them, especially Amy Winehouse.
So then that led the way for like Tumblr feminism, which was obviously like Tavi and like all those people who did have voices. But then that brings us kind of to where we are now, where Tumblr feminism went like into overdrive, and we have like quote unquote like woke culture and like everyone, the discourse culture. So it's funny now that indie sleaze is coming back at a time where it feels really unnatural for it to.
I'd just be interested to see if like what actually is fully going to come back, like the fashion or the music, or because people are kind of too self-aware now. And I think that, because like you were saying, the start of Tumblr feminism, I remember the Terry Richardson stuff coming out on Tumblr, I remember being like shell-shocked. And I think that was probably like the first time I ever saw someone get cancelled.
Yeah.
And he was like kind of like not a hero of indie sleaze, but
he was 100% really like a god.
The aesthetic. Yeah, for sure. And all these celebrities, like he was constantly hanging out with celebrities. Well, he had his own Tumblr, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which is wild. But yeah, I remember seeing that and being like really shook to my core for the first cancellation of Tumblr.
I think it's interesting that you say that you think it's unnatural, because I think like, as you said, like after the whole indie sleaze thing, it was like Tumblr feminism. But like I feel like you can see too, people are getting really sick of that shit and on all the woke stuff. Like people don't even like the reboot of Gossip Girl because they're doing too much of this woke bullshit. Mm.
And so just like that.
Yeah, exactly. And just like that, yeah. So I feel like, I don't know, people are really getting sick of like even like the Democratic Party, and people's politics has changed so much from what Tumblr feminism has been to even being an rejection of that. So in many ways, I think that this revival kind of makes sense. When
it's
you
like
put
a
it in
back.
Those terms. Yeah.
But also it's interesting because I remember learning in uni, I can't remember properly and I didn't research it, lol. So basically we used to have these, because I studied fashion journalism, we used to have these modules called like contextual studies or whatever, where you learn about theory to do with like fashion and stuff and culture. And it was basically kind of like linked to hyperreality, in that like when movements come back around, we're not remembering them, they're not portrayed accurately, and it changes how the movement, we view the movement back then. So like, for example, the 60s, how we dress and we think it's 60s is not actually 60s, it's our perception of it. And that's filtered through like TV and film that we can still access of that time, but it's not actually accurate to what that era was like, if that makes sense. So we're constantly rewriting history by like reinterpreting these trends. I think that's really interesting, Eden, because of like the Indie Sleaze account, and like loads of people basically lumping in the like Tumblr girl, the 2014 mm-hmm. Tumblr girl, with Indie Sleaze with Twee, even though they were like slightly separate yeah. subcultures and like at different times as well.
Yeah, we lived through it, so we can see the kind of the differentiations. But if you didn't live, if you weren't there, man, you don't know.
And this is the first time we can say that.
Yeah, you weren't there. You didn't live through it. And I guess when you live through it, you know each month by month, like what was cool, what bands were cool, what people were doing. Whereas if you're just looking at the fashion, I guess looking back at the fashion, you don't really get to know all the delicate nuances of Indie Sleaze. And so it makes sense that people are lumping it all in together because they're just like, oh, this like maybe like 2000-ish kind of time. So it's like post Y2K, but yeah, kind of it's like a 10-year span, I guess, like 2004 maybe to 2014.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's getting smaller and smaller as well, because when I was at uni we learned that trends work on 15-year cycles. So like when it was the 90s, that's why like the 70s were back in a big way, and like, but it feels like that's speeding up and up and up because of the internet. So now we're working on like, how long has it been? So we're in 2022 now, and if it was 2004, it's like 12 years. No, I don't know, whatever, I'm bad at maths. But didn't the Indie Sleaze account say something to you in a message about that, Eden,
about the time span?
Yeah, about the, like, it's not the 2013 Tumblr girl, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they said that it's not to be confused with 2013 soft grunge and normcore, which I totally forgot about.
Oh my God.
Or the 2014 Tumblr girl. They said it's a youth culture and a moment in time. And they said Lizzie Goodman's Meet Me in the Bathroom, which I also have a copy of right here.
Hey!
Is a really good reference book. So she basically was friends with, like, The Strokes, LCD Sound System. She moved to New York in 2000 when she was a student. She became friends with all these indie guys. So she kind of covers the period of like 2001 when The Strokes released that album as being like the start of like this kind of like new era of rock and roll. And she interviews them all in the book, and it's, or like everyone's in the book, like Kings of Leon, The Strokes, LCD Sound System, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, kind of all those bands. She covers like a 10-year span. So I think that's a really good book to read if you're very interested in it. But she said that book's a great read. She said it's a shift of the minimalist vibe of Gen X style and the cyborg futurism of Y2K to a maximalist, trashy, dirty, sexy, retro aesthetic. It pulls from the 80s with nods to nautical themes, vacation car vibes, and sexy librarian, but most importantly, 2000s American apparel. It was about breaking the rules, clashing, and being shameless. It's all about hedonism and spontaneity with like provocative flash photography. And then kind of this, not like a new genre, but there was a lot of like mixing of genres. So there'd be mm-hmm. like dance punk, then there's like a post-punk revival. And then I think like electronic music was kind of mixed in with like indie music and rock and roll yeah. music, which I think like when you think about bands like Justice and stuff like that, or Justice, it's like kind of maybe subcultures that weren't mixing before, like really mm-hmm. cool French DJ guys, and then like punk kids from like New York, and then like indie kids from like Brighton or whatever. But they were all kind of part of this collective group.
So to round off, Halima, will you be buying into the Indie Sleaze revival? Have we sold it to you?
To be fair, before this conversation, I really thought like the Tumblr girl and like that time, because that's when I was becoming a teenager, and the Indie Sleaze era were really connected. But like,
no,
I know now that they're not, they're very different things. So I have learned that, but probably not. it seemed quite scary. And I was thinking when you said that, like, you used to wake up early to watch Skins. When I was a youngin, I used to wake up early to watch Hannah Montana because my mom didn't really watch it. So clearly I'm just a soft baby girl. I don't think it's for me. Yeah. I'm happy for you guys. Aww.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone's scared of it. Like, I did some stories on Instagram that were like, oh, what bits of Indie Sleaze should we bring back? And I literally had hundreds of messages being like, no, you are wrong for this. Stop right now. I feel like the lamp has been opened though, and it can't be put back now.
Yeah, it's coming back. There's nothing you can do. not to bring COVID into it as well, but Indie Sleaze Instagram account, we were just, when they messaged me, they said that, like, maybe COVID has made people really pine after like a party scene. Cause think about people haven't been, like some people haven't been able to go to the club, and they really want a time where everyone was like just falling over each other and getting off with each other and just being like a drunk mess.
Yeah, and I think that's so true. And like, it's just so, as we've already said a million times, like it's so weirdly offline. Like you had to purposefully put it online. It didn't just exist in that way, if that makes sense, which I think is like what we're all craving.
Yeah. A sense of freedom and a less curated social media kind of presence as well.
Yeah. Well, we will have to reconvene when the Tumblr girl actually does come back, because I think this is a false start trend piece that has got everyone talking. 2014 can't come back yet.
No.
Because that's when I started polyester. That's so embarrassing. It can only be during like a 10-year retrospective that I will accept that the period is gone.
Yeah, let us have our moment first and be like, you didn't live through it, man. You didn't have to get up at 4 a.m. to watch Skins. Like,
Exactly.
It was a struggle.
Well, thank you, Eden, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Halima, for being a sponge for our wisdom.
Educators.
We're doing the important work. Thank you to all the listeners. Let us know what you think of Indie Sleaze. I feel like we should do Instagram stories where we put up our like Indie Sleaze relics and people can send theirs in. That would be so fun.
I would love that. Yeah. Everyone's everyone's lookbook pictures.
Oh my god, exactly. Thank you to Olivia for editing this episode, and to Gina, Hattie, Grace, Charlotte, and Clarissa. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.